Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
All right, John chapter 3 and verse 8, all of us, let's read it. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Let's title this, Words Are Supernatural. Words are supernatural. I'm going to be fast, so you need to catch up with me quickly. Words are spiritual. Words are more important than most people think they are. John 6:63, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickens or makes alive or animates. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing." He said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." It's not just that they have spirit, they are spirit and they are life. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." So, words are spiritual. Words are spirit. When you speak words, words come from your spirit. They come from your heart. Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." That implies that your words are a projection of who you are. Your words are a projection of who you are. If you are poor, that is what you believe in your heart, you will speak poverty. If you are rich, that's what you know yourself to be, you will project abundance. When you believe that you are a victim, your words will project victimization. It's in Numbers 13. It's in Numbers 13. When Moses sent the spies to check out Israel, leaders of the 12 tribes, leaders of 10 out of 12 came back and said, "We're finished. We're finished. They'll kill us. They'll destroy us. The land that we saw swallows up its inhabitants." Then they made that powerful statement in Numbers 13:33. They said, "And we were as grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." You see, your words are a projection of who you are. To change your words effectively, you need to change who you are. You need to change your belief system. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But the key thought is that words are spiritual. The spiritual world is moved by words. The spiritual world is moved by words. In Psalm 103 verse 20, the Bible talks about angels that excel in strength, heeding the voice of his word. Angels move when God speaks. Demons move by words. Jesus cast out spirits by his word. The spiritual world moves through words. Things are arranged and rearranged according to what you say. Whether positively or negatively, when you speak, please understand, things are happening around you based on what you said. Your words move the spiritual world. The spiritual world impacts on the physical world. Very important. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 tells us that the earth was without form and void, and that darkness covered the face of the deep. He says, and the Spirit of God was moving on the face of the waters, dormant. And God said, let there be light. Then the Spirit went into action and created the light. Very important. You speak, you move the Spirit world impacts on the physical world. Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made from things that are visible. You literally create your world through your words. With words we curse, and with words we bless. To bless is to empower. When we bless, we move the spiritual world on the behalf of someone. The spiritual world, spiritual forces are unleashed on behalf of someone. When we bless, when we curse, spiritual forces are released to hinder and to hurt someone. People in Bible days understood the power of words. Isaac was about to die and said he wanted to bless Esau. Jacob got the blessing. Esau came and heard that Jacob had received the blessing. Then he said to his father, don't you have another word to say to me? Was it not just words? Or were they not just words? Speak words over me also. The father said, no. See, they were not flippant with words. Isaac knew that with those words that he spoke, virtue went. The spiritual world was rearranged. He was not going to create confusion in the spirit realm. He said, no. I gave him also. And when I spoke, I said that his brothers would serve him. It's already structured like that. The Bible says that Esau lifted up his voice and wept. What was he weeping for? Not money, sir. Not certificate, not promotion, not a title. Just for words that should have been pronounced over his head. Because he knew that those words had created the future when they were released. If there was one man who understood supernatural living, it was Jacob. How to leverage on your connection with God, you know, to create your future, the life that God designed for you. Jacob did. He valued the blessing. He valued the intangible. That's why he would give his food to collect birthright from his brother. Birthright that you can't see. Jacob understood the spiritual. We've referred to him before while discussing one of the ways the Holy Spirit influences our lives for supernatural living. The Holy Spirit gives us visions and dreams, gives us pictures. Jacob experienced it in Genesis 30 and 31. When Laban, his uncle and employer, you know, reached an agreement with him. The spotted and ring-streaked animals will be yours, Jacob. The plain-colored ones will be mine, he said. And Laban knew that the fat, fresh-looking ones were the plain-colored ones. The spotted and ring-streaked ones were hungry-looking and skinny, and they were few. And the Bible says that Laban separated those spotted ones by 3 days' journey apart, so that they would not by any mistake mate with the plain-colored fat ones. But the Bible says that God came in a dream to Jacob and said, lift up your eyes. Look at the cows. He said, see spotted cows mating with those plain colored ones. Remarkable. So something was happening in the realm of the spirit. Jacob needed to see it for it to become a reality. And Jacob created a wall, placed it in front of those cows, where they came to drink water, which was also where they were mating. Plain colored cows mated with plain colored cows. By the time their babies came out, they were spotted and ring-streaked. There was interference. God had suspended the laws of nature because one man was there that was blessed. No devil could impoverish him. But he saw it first in the dream. So there's another dimension to the man's life, and it is with the use of words. When it was time for him to go back to his father's house, God told him, move, leave Laban. He left. Laban went on a journey when Jacob took his whole family and his goods and ran away. Laban ran after him. I want you to see something from Genesis 31. This is very, very powerful. Genesis chapter 31. I'll read verses 31 and 32. Genesis 31. Verses 31 and 32. It says, then Jacob answered and said to Laban, because Laban accused Jacob. Laban ran after Jacob, caught up with him and accused him. Why did you run away with my daughters? Why did you run away with my goods? Then he accused him, you also stole my gods. Then Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, perhaps you will take your daughters from me by force. With whomever you find your gods, do not let him live. In the presence of our brethren, identify what I have of yours and take it with you. For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. Jacob made a pronouncement. If you find your gods, your idols, with anybody here, let the person die. Laban combed everything that they had, combed every tent. When he got into Rachel's tent, they didn't know. Jacob, who made the pronouncement, didn't know that it was Rachel that stole the idols. He put the idols in a bag, sat on the bag. When her dad came in, she said, I'm sorry, daddy, that I can't stand up. It's because I'm having my period. So the man couldn't see it. And Jacob was very angry with the man. Move over to 35. Genesis 35 from verse 16. Then they journeyed from Bethel. And when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, Rachel labored in childbirth and she had hard labor. Verse 17. Now it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said to her, do not fear, you will have this son also. And so it was, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. The pronouncement that was made by her husband was effected on her. He didn't know. Anyone carrying this idol is dead. Let the person die. That, I'm just talking about the power of words. You will see, interestingly, in the end of this story, something interesting. That Rachel, because she was dying, she was in pain. The child came out quite all right, but she knew she was going. So she named him Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. And as in that instant, Jacob arrived. She said, son of my sorrow. He said, no, Benjamin. Because he had seen what words had done to his family. It started with him. Started with him. His parents named him Jacob. While he was in the womb as a twin, in the days when there were no scanning machines, the mom found the pregnancy difficult and prayed, and God spoke to her, there are two nations in your womb. With that, she knew she was carrying two babies. The day they were born, the first one came out. They said he had a lot of hair on his body. They named him Esau, which means hairy. But God had spoken before about their destinies. Why don't you use what God said to name the baby? Hairy. By the way, the present day equivalent is Henry. I'm sorry. The second one came out, they said, the way he was baby, he was struggling, it looked like he wanted to come out first. So they named him Jacob, which means supplanter. Supplanter. Cheat. Pidgin English. Honeyman. Your name is one of the words you will hear most frequently in your lifetime. He was hearing that supplanter, supplanter, supplanter all his life. With all that God had planned and ordained for his life, he was always scheming. He was never able to come to the point where he fully put his trust in God. He was always scheming until God told him, go back home. On the way back home in Genesis 32, he got to a place where some people came to meet him and told him, your brother Esau is coming and he has 400 armed men with him. He was afraid. He prayed. Someone showed up. Jacob again, thinking, you won't cheat me. He wants to cheat me. He began to wrestle. He didn't know it was God. He was wrestling with God. Trying to give God a pin for. The Bible says when it was morning, then God said, it's okay. I came to help you. I didn't come to struggle. I'm leaving. But before then, God knocked the socket of his hip joint to create a weakness in his. He was too strong for God to bless. God won't show up where you are strongest. He will show up where you are weakest. Because if he does something where you're already very strong, we won't know who did it. And he is not in the business of sharing his glory with people. Some people don't get it easily. They don't get it for a long time. That God is trying to walk a witness with all your connections, with all your certificates, with all your intelligence. Things are not working. God is trying to walk a weakness in there. So he now had a limp and he was still struggling. So God said, it's okay. I'm leaving. Then it now dawned on him. I'm worse now than when we started this wrestling. He now realized, if this person leaves you like you are finished. I think that was when he realized it was God. He said, Lord, if you don't bless me, I will not let you go. I said, that's where you should have started. A long time ago, that was the first prayer you should have prayed. You know what God said? He said, what is your name? It's Jacob. It's a supplanter. He said, we need to start from there. So I change your name now. You are no longer Jacob. You are now Israel. a prince with God. That was where his life changed. The Esau who threatened to kill him, when Esau saw him, he ran towards him, hugged him, and kissed him, and blessed him, because Jacob had changed. Amen. So the same man who had all this trouble, his wife was now naming his son, son of my sorrow. He changed it instantly. There's someone here. This is your day of change. This is your day of change. I said, this is your day of change. Be careful what you say over your wife. Be careful what you say over your husband. Be careful what you say over your children. What are you saying about your finances? What are you saying over your business? That what is happening for everybody doesn't have to happen for you. If you are spiritual, you're a child of God, you need to leverage on that. Jesus used his words to move the world. It's your turn. When God gives you a word, you say it. God confirms it with miracles. That's the arrangement. Mark 16:20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming his word. With what? Signs following. If you are, you see, anyone who is born of the Spirit makes sound. The wind blows. You hear the sound. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effect. It's the same thing. The part of you that makes things to happen is the invisible part of you. It's the invisible part of you. I'll stop at Acts 14:3. I love this verse of scripture. Acts chapter 14 and verse 3. It says, therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord. How were they speaking? Boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting what? Signs and wonders to be done by the hand. You see the order? The speaking came first before the signs followed. And there is a way you speak it. If it is what God said that you are saying, say it the way God will say it. God does not speak in weakness. Say, commit God. You are operating by faith. Some of us are timid. We are afraid of what people will say. That's why, while they are making their negative confessions, we are nodding our head. It's true. Say, there's no money anywhere. It's true. This country will fall to pieces. It's true. All of us are going to die. It's true. Someone needs to take a different stand. Say what God said. I've said it before, someone died when I was in school, died on our campus. It shook all of us because teenagers usually don't think about death. It's the last thing on their to-do list. If it's there at all, dying is not part of. And there's this invincibility that they feel that they have, that they can't die now. One died on our campus. Everybody was afraid. So we're discussing it in the room and then somebody made a statement. Hey, that's it. Anybody can die at any time. The thing just came out of my spirit. I can't die at any time. They said, shut up. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Anybody can die at any time now. I said I cannot die at any time. They said, why are you talking like this? I said, listen to me. There was a man in the Bible. His name was Jacob. When he was about to die, the Bible says that he called all his sons. He spoke to them, blessed them. Then the Bible says that he wittily gathered his legs on the bed and slept. I said, he died deliberately. That's how I'm going to die. I'm going to die deliberately. He said, okay. For people like you, you won't die anyhow. Okay, let's separate you. They separate me. Take me out of the equation. What are you talking about? I can't sit down and let you be sowing negative words, negative seeds into my life. My destiny is different. I'm a peculiar person. I stopped calling myself common man. We the masses, we the common. Do you know what common means? You can find it everywhere. Two for half cobble. My destiny is not like that. I'm a peculiar person. I'm a new species. I I prophesy in the name of Jesus for someone here, a change of status.
Amen.
A change in the trajectory of your life.
Amen.
By the power of the Spirit of God. Any negative word that was ever spoken over your life, by the power of God, it is dissolved.
Amen.
I speak against every familiar spirit, because there are spirits assigned to families to recreate or reproduce in different generations the same problems. This morning, by the blood of the covenant, I arrest every familiar spirit.
Amen.
I cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ. I prophesy restoration. A release of promotion. In the mighty name of Jesus. The God who confirms his word with miracles will move on your behalf. I prophesy miracles, signs, wonders. Yesterday you got rejection. Today, it's now favor. You experience lack. That lack is paralyzed. Step into a season of supernatural provision. Every sickness, every disease, fall down now. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for that person in this service who says, Pastor Sam, please pray with me that God should forgive me my sins. My lifestyle is not right with God at all. That's the major problem right now. My relationship with God is not okay. I should like to tell you, Jesus paid for your sins and mine on the cross many years ago. Let's ask him for forgiveness. He will forgive us. His power will destroy the nature of sin from our hearts. That's where everything changes. If you're that honest person, can you please put your hand on your heart where you are? Life was designed for you to fulfill God's destiny for your life, not by struggling and not by being a victim of Satan or situations and circumstances. I want to pray for that honest person. You may be here, you may be in the overflow, you may be watching on the internet. Can you please put your hand on your heart? I'm a sinner. My lifestyle is not right with God. I want God to forgive me. Perhaps you've been a Christian before. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus right now. You know you've backslidden into sin. Can you also put your hand on your heart, please? I'd like to pray with you. And if your hand is on your heart for this prayer, can you please stand by your chair where you are? We'll be done in about 1 minute. It's a short prayer. Can you please stand? God bless you. God bless you, my brother. Can you please stand? You didn't come here by accident today. This is a divine arrangement and a divine appointment. Can you please stand? If you are standing, can you please say this prayer after me? Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. In Jesus' name, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, everyone standing in obedience to your word, we ask you to forgive them, heal them, change them, accept them. In Jesus' name.